Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Mm-hmm. Hope you're having a good one out there. We will be joined by our good friend, Brittany Merlot, hopefully tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to that. Brittany will be with us later this week. We got a lot of great things coming up throughout the week here. We'll be getting into some of that a little bit later in the show. But we will, of course, get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. That's another place we're going to start today. Mm-hmm. Get that coming up. What is the proper etiquette when if you win big money on a lottery off of a Christmas gift?
Good question.
That is one we kind of got into a little bit last week and everything. Okay, we'll see where that one goes. We've got that coming up. What trend died so fast they can hardly call it a trend?
Those are always fun.
That's trends, fads, these kind of things. We'll get into a little bit of that. We got some entertainment news for you to come up in the 9 o'clock hour. But to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, we got the kitchens open.
We do.
Looking forward to that
one. Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Beth Habhacker going to be joining us not only today, but she'll be a pitch hitting a little bit
this week. Yeah, that's right.
Beth will be co-hosting a little bit this week. So we'll be hearing from get our dose of Beth. Good dose of Beth. Also be talking Golden Globes a little bit later. I have a mashup, Seth, of something that I could not be more excited about.
Ooh.
I almost broke up. I broke into the airwaves today and broke up a couple of shows that were programmed that were going on just in the middle of the day for no reason other than I just thought it was such an amazing, cool story.
And that's cool.
We'll get into that one.
All right.
We got the most streamed song of Spotify on Spotify in 2024 as well.
Oh, that's always interesting, yeah.
All that coming up, we will get into, and rock albums that turned 50.
Uh-oh. Get ready to feel old, everybody.
Rock albums turning 50 this year. But let's get into an interesting one here. The average American rates 2024. What do you rate the last year?
Oh, okay.
715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation.
Get you involved right away, everybody.
Yeah, our first Monday of the year. A good day to do this, I believe. And our first Monday show, of the year. So where would you rank last year, everybody? 2024 is over in America. You know the drill. Now that the ride is over, it's time to submit a review.
Of course.
A new survey, Americans were asked to rate the year 2024 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being incredible and 1 being
I'm glad it's over, right?
Overall average came in at 6.1%.
Oh, better than average. Okay, not bad, not bad.
17% gave 2024 a 5. 17% gave it a 7. 16% gave it an 8. And 13% gave it a 6.
Okay.
14% gave it either a 9 or a 10.
Ooh.
And 23% gave it less than a 5.
Okay.
Including the 5% who gave it a 1, the lowest possible score.
Only 5%, okay.
That was Drake. He
was weighted in his flavor.
When asked what made 2024 memorable, the most popular answer was reconnecting with old friends and family members.
Hmm.
That was followed by creative and personal growth and getting a new pet. Getting a new pet came in at third.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Interesting.
That's amazing. Wow. Who knew?
In a previous poll, most people said that they expect life in America to be a 5 throughout the next 10 years. Although 41% are hopeful that their life will be better than this year.
Okay. All right. So, Bob, so we... So they're hoping for average.
Yeah,
but a good chunk of people want it to be better. Okay, that's interesting.
You know, they tell you to shoot for the stars, Seth.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you got to have goals, I guess.
Sometimes those are low hanging stars, I guess.
Yeah. The close ones, the really close stars. Yeah,
they tend to fall.
Is that a star? Or is that Venus?
So there is a part of that I can empathize with to a degree of, you know, you don't want to build things up too much or anything like that and be let down.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of wanting to still be hopeful while being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I balance all the time.
Oh, exactly. And a lot of this, it sounds like a lot of this is about personal, stuff, personal growth.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, the top three things, people saying they felt they had some creative opportunities and some personal growth. That's really important for obviously a lot of people. So
it's a lot of days in a year.
There's a lot of them.
It's 360. I don't know. It changes.
Oh, we're back to 365 this year.
We are back to 365. But there's a lot. So look, there are going to be good, there are going to be bad with every year.
Of course.
I don't know how anybody out there could look at a year and say it was a perfect year or it was a horrible year. Because I would feel like if, as soon as I was to say one of those things, the opposite would pop up in my head and counter what I'm already, what I'm saying and stuff. So I think that having a five or a six or the fact that most the average number was 6 out of 10.
Six, is that's not bad at all. I would too.
I will take that.
Absolutely.
It's a win nowadays.
You know, it's interesting. You know, when you look back at a year, it's of course, you know, everyone says, and I'm just as guilty as everyone else, you know, wow, that year went so fast because it felt like it really did. Well, something we do at church every the first Sunday of the year is we have something called the memorabilia, and we go back and look at what the church congregation did throughout the year. And then you hear this, at least I did, and I'm thinking, wow, that was in this last year? That seemed like forever ago.
Yeah.
So it's so fascinating where if you do like specific things that happened during the year, it seems like it was a while ago, but then you look at the year as a whole, and it's like, oh, it went so fast. It's so interesting.
We, behind the scenes here, everybody, just to your point, we've been putting collecting together our WBA nominations.
Right.
And we're going to be submitting those very soon. Shout out to everybody that worked so hard on those.
Yeah, everybody did. It was a team effort, sure.
A lot of great work by a lot of our team here and everything. We're very excited about that. But that was all going on. And honestly, every time I thought about the WBAs, it felt like it was 3 years ago. It felt like it was a while ago. It was just last May, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't even that long ago.
It wasn't.
I think certain moments in our lives also make that gap bigger.
Yes.
I feel like, and this is different for everybody and stuff because we all grieve differently, but when you lose somebody, that almost takes up the year. Like, you could get married, you could have 2.5 kids, you could buy a new home, but if you lose somebody significant to you in that year, that's probably what's going to take the headlines.
Yes.
That's probably what...
So you're going to remember that,
In your memory, in your brain and everything.
It's going to take a lot of space, in other words.
And I don't know that... I think that, too, that can also be a good thing. Like, when you when it's fresh... Like looking at last year and stuff, it could be kind of rough and everything.
Right.
But as the years go by, and I kind of like, you know, you like to remember these people. You like to, it can actually kind of, you know, be attached to other good things or good things. And so that negative thing, you give it enough time to breathe.
Yep.
It still stings a little bit, maybe, but it's not as rough, and you don't remember just that about the year.
Right. Exactly. You know, the old saying, you know, time heals all wounds kind of thing, and that's true. It's not like it goes away. You know, everyone who's lost a significant person in their life knows that there's always that gap, you know, that they're not there anymore, and they can't fill that little gap that you have. But as you go along, but I like the idea of, like, associating it with more positive stuff. That's really interesting. And looking at the year kind of like a holistic way of looking at any specific period of time.
I'm curious of how human beings and memory works going forward. Because we have always, our brains since caveman days have romanticized the past. It's actually something our brains do. It's part of the reason why you can't remember what you had for breakfast yesterday.
Right. You can remember that one morning when you were 8 years old, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know, your dad made chocolate chip cake. Whatever, for you and your friends or something like that. Yeah. Our brains have always had to work that way because we never really had as much resources to collect information and to be able to be like, well, actually, I looked on my phone and last year I was actually in a good mood on this day. Or, like, now we've got these memory, you know.
Yeah, things that actually do our memory for us, right?
We're walking around with photo albums all day.
Exactly.
And we're only, for the most part, putting good memories in them like we do with photo albums.
Right.
So the way we remember things going forward, I wonder how much more keen it's going to be, how much more accurate it's going to be.
That's a good point.
I guess. You know.
Well, and we tend to remember the good stuff more than the bad stuff, you know, just in general, like you were referring to. But now we have, like you said, I mean, we have this, and not only that, you have, you know, things on your phone. You can set it up so what happened on this day? You took a picture and you look at, oh, look, I remember that kind of thing.
So has this completely destroyed tall tales? It's just destroyed. Like, yo, me and Eddie, we were out fishing, and I caught this fish, man. You wouldn't believe the size of it. And Eddie shows up, and he's like, I got a picture of that
right
fish.
Here.
It was right here. What are you talking about? It was a perch. It was not even that big of a fish. It wasn't even a big deal. I don't know what he's...
Come on, man. What are you doing?
Oh, I just don't... This just is an epiphany I'm having right here in real time.
How about that?
We have destroyed tall tales.
We have destroyed tall tales.
That's not cool. I like tall tales.
Well, see, now fun, those of us, you know, who were before social media and the fact that we take pictures all the time, we can keep our tall tales going. But
yes,
man, the Zoomers, the Gen Z, sorry, kids, you got nothing.
Yeah, good luck selling that fish story. Is that nobody's going to buy it?
No one's going to believe you.
Why would you take a picture if you caught a fish that big? Where's the picture? Come on, where's the proof?
Lost in the cloud. I don't know where.
Yeah, that's rough. We'll take a time out. We will come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right here on the morning show at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage you tomorrow to open up your schedule, your calendar, take a look at it, and mark on there. I'm going to Misty's tomorrow. Going to El Cafe tomorrow.
You are going to El Cafe tomorrow.
Go to both. El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support those that support this community, mm-hmm. and, of course, this radio station.
100%.
Greatly appreciate our friends at El Cafe. And we're not alone. Our audience really does, too. Not only do they like going over there, but they really appreciate them that we still do this segment.
Yeah, we do, yes.
Big thank you to them. Head on over to El Cafe tomorrow when they open up their doors. Wish them a great day from all of us.
Yeah.
Get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Love mm-hmm. celebrating with you. Send an email to us at info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages as well, and you can call up.
715-424-2600 is the number. Call right now. Get your wishes on the air by you. You can wish them a happy birthday on the air, which makes it even better.
Yeah, I was going to say, it carries a little extra weight
to it. It does.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It's a good idea, especially. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a romantic gesture, too. You're looking for points.
I hadn't thought about that. You're right, though. Yes.
I think it's a good idea. And we look forward to you doing that, everybody. Give us a call anytime. And it doesn't matter if you're busy during this segment. That's all right. Call us up in 20 minutes, an hour from now, whatever it is.
Doesn't matter.
We love getting those birthdays and anniversaries on the airwaves here. And we love celebrating you guys, so much so that we do belated birthdays here and there.
We got do.
One on our list.
Okay.
So from going all the way back to January 4th, boy, a long time ago.
Saturday.
Belated happy birthday to Julie Tagg.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Enjoy your day, Julie. Hope it's a good one for you. Mm-hmm. And you are an instant qualifier.
Instant qualifier. Yep.
And then today we have two possible qualifiers.
All right.
Ooh. Seth, I need a one or a two.
All right. Two.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. Get right into it. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday today to Amy Sunday.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Enjoy your day, Amy.
Hope it's Amy a great Sunday one. On a Monday, her birthday. Yes,
that seems fun. I think that'd be fun. Enjoy it, Amy. Play mm-hmm. into it. Have a good one. And we wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Patty Urban.
Patty, congratulations on being our qualifier and happy birthday.
Brag to friends, family, animals, imaginary friends, strangers, let everybody know.
that you are a qualifier and it's your birthday. You know,
you should mention that both.
Too. Just mention
get them both in there. Get them both in. Actually, it's a great way to like if you don't want to.
Really
I'm a qualifier today. Oh, what for? Oh, you know, it's just my birthday. No big deal or anything. Just a great way to drop that in.
Just gonna slide it into a conversation.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. Got a birthday or anniversary for us?
Morning, James.
Good morning, bud. How are you?
Good.
What do you got for us today?
Do you know why the giraffe and the turtle did not get married?
They did not get married.
I don't know. Why?
They could not see eye to eye.
Oh, I like it.
Excellent.
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Have a great morning.
Yes.
Have a great morning.
All right. Love it.
We say a great morning to our friends over at the ODC.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Milkwind Market or Ink Splash or some of the other great things they're doing over there or making us laugh in the morning like that.
Love it.
We encourage you to find out more about the ODC. ODCINC.com. Mm-hmm. ODCINC.com. Be sure to follow Milkwind Market on social media as well, everybody.
Fabulous stuff.
I love her friends over there. Yeah. That's fantastic. We have our celebrity list we're going to take a look at now. Taking a look at this list, we wish a very happy birthday to Alex Turner, 39, for lead singer and one of the main songwriters for Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, I like some of their stuff. Pretty good.
He is one of 30 members. I don't know.
That's a big band.
That's a huge band. I knew a little bit about them, and I still don't know much about them, but they were on SNL a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
And Lauren's a big fan of them, so they're going to be out a lot.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I don't know how they barely fit on the 30 Rock stage. There were so many of those guys. That's a big band. Speaking of 30 Rock, Kate McKinnon is 41.
Oh, wow.
She was, I guess, Weird Barbie in the Barbie movie. I don't know. But that was like a role that Margot Robbie specifically wanted her for. And
really?
They weren't even going to have the character until Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
I think she is a borderline genius. She is
so talented.
I mentioned I watched the SNL Christmas special with Martin Short.
Yep.
And Melissa McCarthy was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it in a class yesterday, and I am prepared to say that I think Melissa McCarthy is the most fearless actor I've seen on the 30 Rock stage. I have a hard time saying that, but I really genuinely feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that in a sense of, I look, whether I look handsome or pretty or cute or sad or whatever it is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make you laugh, and it doesn't matter what happens to me or my body or anything else. There's Chevy Chase falling down the stairs as Ford or anything
that.
There's some actors that have done some stuff. Molly Shannon threw herself through walls all the time.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy in almost every sketch. She's doing something like this, but it's so organic.
It works.
It's such a part of things.
Well, even with the opening when they did it, I mean, they telegraphed the whole thing, but it still works.
Kate McKinnon is almost that to another degree, kind of with her facial expressions and a lot of those things.
She's a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
I think we need to put that in there because of some of the stuff outside of SNL that she's done. She's tremendous.
Speaking of tremendous actors, Eddie Redmayne is 43 today. Newt Scamander in the Fantastic Beasts movies.
Mm-hmm.
He also won an Oscar as Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything. One of the greatest acting performances I've ever seen in my life. I never will see. How you play Stephen Hawking, I don't know. Eddie pulled it off. Like, that guy pulled it off, man.
Yep.
And the Danish girl, of course, he won an Oscar for that one as well.
Man, I think he was in Les Mis, too, I believe. Yep. He was in that. Tremendous voice, too, yeah.
And he's got a big one called The Jackal out right now, where it's a little more of an action role and everything.
Cool.
A lot of people have been very, talking really, I didn't see it, but a lot of people have been very big fans of. Oh, let's see here. Christina Alonso, comedian Cristello Alonso, as Cruz Ramirez in Cars 3.
Okay.
And Cristel.
Nice.
Gabrielle Reese is 55 today, all 6'3 of her.
Yes. Tremendous volleyball player, yes.
Yeah, great volleyball player.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Reedus is 56. Daryl on The Walking Dead.
Wow, he's 56.
I might also remember him from Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of his.
Wow, he doesn't look that old, actually.
No, he doesn't.
He's looking good for 56.
I like actors that are in it for the right script and the right role.
Mm.
There are a few that are more picky than him. There are a few, like, he took a great role in Blade, and he was Whistler in Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Whistler, he was Whistler's partner in Blade.
Right.
And it was a small role, and they were asking about it. He's like, I got to work with Wesley Snipes and Kris Kristofferson. Like, that's what he wanted to do it for.
That's awesome.
A lot of people expected him to have this huge break after Boondock Saints.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really want it. Like, he works on cars and stuff like that a lot of the time, bikes and everything. And he's got a couple of other shows that he does now that are pretty good. But I admire his acting choices a lot. I think he's a good actor. I think he's an underrated actor.
Yes.
Underrated defensive player, Howie Long is 65 today. Raiders legend,
so,
Hall of Rock, Super Bowl Hall of Fame.
You know, he is one
Super
of
Bowl.
Super Bowl
Football
Hall of Fame.
Hall Football, of Fame.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. He was at a Super Bowl or two as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He did win a couple with the Raiders. But he is one of those guys that you forget because he's so good at, like, the TV thing. You forget, man, he was a go back and watch him, man. He was good.
It's one of my favorites.
One of the best of his era. to be on the defensive line, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was amazing. Yep. Yeah. True Hall of Famer. And does not look, other than, you know, gotten smaller and everything, does not look like he's aged.
No. What's like, up with all? That? Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, the great Rowan Atkinson is 70 today. Oh, no. Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean is 70. Wow.
Saw a great picture celebrating his birthday of Princess Diana freaking out when she met Rowan Atkinson. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking really close, and he's so young, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is before Mr. Bean. She's freaking out because of Blackadder.
Blackadder? I was totally going to mention that. I was going to say, yes, he's most famous for Mr. Bean, but if you get a chance, watch the Blackadder series. It is so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Forget how big that show was. Where yes. You've got like Princess Diana, like I think even newly crowned Princess Diana or whatever, and she's in all these famous English people are standing there greeting her, and she's greeting, oh, yes, thank you, thank you. And she sees Mr. Bean or you know, him.
At the time, right.
And flips out, just flips. Out now. Oh my God! It was cool.
That is so cool.
That's pretty cool, and I can't imagine what, because he's got this most humble look on his face.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh!
For all of his great characters and great work and everything, quite a humble guy. And private guy too. Mm-hmm. Some people no longer with us. The great director John Singleton, born on this day in 1968, passed away way too young in 2019. Mm-hmm. Director of Boys in the Hood, one of the writers of it too, and did a lot of other good movies too. There's a movie, I believe Rosewood is it, with Ving Rhames starring in it.
I have seen that. It's an excellent film.
Ooh, yeah.
It's not easy. It's not necessarily an easy watch, but it's a very important one, and it's really good. Boy, you know, is someone who, I mean, he exploded on the scene with Boys in the Hood. I mean, and that's a hard first act to follow up on, but he had a very good career after that. Yeah. And sadly, I mean, it would have been interesting to see what he did later on in his career, but he's not around anymore.
Malcolm Young, born on this day in 53, passed away in 2017, former AC/DC guitarist.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Bonnie Franklin, born in 1944, passed away in 13. The mom on the original One Day at a Time.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that's right. Oh.
And Earl Scruggs, born on this day in 1924, Country Music Hall of Famer, part of Flatt and Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
The Ballad of Jed Clampett, of course, they sang together and stuff.
Please don't make that the only thing you know about him. He's an amazing artist. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Musician and artist.
Really was.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one more time, we put a call out to all of you. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Send it to info@WFHR.com or call up during the show here, 715-424-2600. You could use the Civic Media app and just be a text or two away.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, we will take those calls throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So one more time, again, a happy belated birthday to Julie Tagg.
Happy birthday, Julie.
And a happy birthday to Amy Sunday.
Happy birthday, Amy.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Patty Urban.
Patty, happy birthday and congratulations to you.
We're going to get to our news break, some sports, check in with our partners.
All right.
We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. I feel like this should be the start of a cop show.
Yeah.
We're coming back from commercial break in the 70s.
Yeah.
McCormick.
Mike Post, that's all he listened to when he was a kid was this.
And I love the idea, too, of this is we're just walking in and do a you know, you've got to have the upset police chief. The police chief was always like, I got a bottle of Tums right there.
Yeah, right. He's always gravelly voice. You know?
And it's always McGurk or McGinn. It's something
right.
Irish.
Yeah, like McCloud. Yes, yeah, right.
Yeah. You wrote it. You're a loose cannon, McGurk. Yeah. You're a loose cannon.
Hooker was a good cop.
Oh, yes. Just so. It's right there, man.
It's right there.
Had some about that music. God, Temptations.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff right here for us, especially if you are in an interesting situation. I'm going to share something with the audience here real quick.
Okay.
A little behind, not really behind the curtain, just a look into a day in the life of just, I have had a very weird, odd life, Seth.
Yes.
Not a lot of normal days.
Yeah.
I learned at a young age, just got to roll with it.
Okay.
You know what? They tell you if you're falling out of a building or out of a car or something like that, loose. Don't get stiff.
Don't get tense. Yeah,
just you're going to hurt yourself more. So I've just taken up as I'm falling through life, I am just being loose.
Trying to be loose.
Trying to be. I'm standing I'm in a hurry, and I'm in the gas station the other day, and I'm looking around, and oftentimes in the gas stations they have up there, you know, congratulations to lottery winners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And up there it says, congratulations, winner, James M. of Wisconsin Rapids.
Whoa.
And I'm looking at it, and then it takes me a good 30 seconds before I'm like, well, huh, wait a minute.
Did I win something and didn't even know it?
And I'm racking my brain. Like, I've never bought a lottery ticket. I had a nice person buy me some once when I worked at a gas station, but I've never bought one myself.
Right.
So I'm feeling pretty confident that it's not me.
No.
But I share a name with another James, my father and everything, and I don't know if my dad buys lottery tickets or not.
Oh.
And I'm both equally, like, bothered, like, that there's something I don't know about my dad. Also, kind of find that kind of cool, that I'm like, well, wait a minute, man. There's still stuff I don't know about the old
guy. That's really cool, yeah.
And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did he win and he doesn't know? Because that is something I know about my father that he would do.
Oh, no.
He can be a little impulsive sometimes, right. You know, and buy the ticket, but wouldn't follow up on if he won it or not. Just the thrill of
playing. I don't know. I just bought the ticket.
So that kind of stuff does happen all the time, and we have plenty of times where there are lottery tickets that are not claimed and everything. Where we're going right now is kind of a little bit of the other end of this, of not only claim, but etiquette of when you do claim a lottery ticket, when you do win.
Very important. Very important.
Lottery tickets are a pretty lazy but harmless Christmas gift until someone hits a jackpot. Then things get interesting.
Then things get weird.
Someone asked the internet, what's the proper etiquette if you win $5,000 on a lottery ticket Christmas gift? Here are the best responses.
All right.
And we want yours, 715-424-2600.
What would you do if this was you, right?
100%.
On either side of it, did you buy the ticket or did you receive it?
We'll give our answers as well. Yeah. We'll play along as well. But pretend nothing happened. Say, oh, darn, I lost, while folding it up and putting it in your pocket.
Oh, that's just, no.
Okay, so when you do show up with the water ski, you know, when you have that.
Where'd you get that? Yeah.
Yeah, it fell off a truck. Like, what are you gonna do there? Any time in life, especially the older you get, and if there happens to be any 13 or 14 year olds out there listening, this is an early lesson you can learn.
Yep.
The only thing that can happen are worse things when you lie in life. The older you get.
Oh God.
There is literally no situation that lying can really. It might make it better in the moment.
Right.
But in the long term, nothing
almost
good comes
always
of it.
Will make it worse. Yes.
In the moment, you may feel like you got away with one, but these chickens come home to roost.
Boy, it sure seems that way.
There's going to be a moment where, like, somebody's going to need that, like a $1,000 or something like that for a heart surgery or something, and you show up with the money, and they're like, "Well, how did you come up with that money?" And I won $5,000 off of a lottery ticket you gave me two Christmases ago.
Yeah, right.
It's going to come up. The truth always comes forward. Watch one CSI episode and realize that we can't get away with anything anymore.
That's funny.
And everything comes up. Everything. You can't get away with nothing.
No.
Invest on insist on privacy. Resist the urge to scratch it off in front of everyone, even if you have to say you're going to wait to use your lucky penny or something.
Oh, I love the idea of having a lucky penny.
I was talking about this last week with the gift-giving thing. It's kind of weird how we do gift-giving. Except maybe in this situation.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I want to know. You scratch it right now in front of me. I want to see. I don't know.
Yeah, come on now.
I've never done this, and unless somebody specifically, I know they're a huge fan of this, I wouldn't really do something like this. So this is kind of, I just find this subject kind of fun.
It is funny, actually.
But there are people out there, I do wonder if you do think about this when you buy lottery tickets. Is this something that goes through your head when you're buying or are you just doing it for fun? Or I really do want to know, because there are very few things that I have no data on. I got nothing on this one.
Neither of us. I mean, I don't think I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life. I don't remember ever having done it. So, yeah, this is all new to me.
This one's interesting. Use it as a test. If your friend, family member, or coworker is anything but happy for you to win, that's not cool. Why would the gift be conditional on the ticket being a losing one?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a great point.
That's an excellent point. I mean, why are you giving lottery tickets? I mean, I guess that's the big question.
Yeah.
Why are you giving lottery tickets? Because like they said, is it late? You're just lazy and you just on the way to the party. Oh, God, I'll get some lottery tickets. Or what does it mean? Yeah.
I am positive that I'm wrong here. But I wonder if this is just done by lottery commission commercials. Because I've actually never seen this. I've never seen somebody actually get... I know that it exists. That's right. Why I'm saying I'm confident I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But it does feel a little bit like it, this. We got the idea from like lottery commercials.
Right.
Commercials like, trying to promote selling more lottery tickets.
Right. I think this is like almost... Every time I've seen it, which is only a few times, it has absolutely like white elephant stuff. That's all it is. It's kind of like a fun, you know, like, oh, I got you some lotto tickets kind of thing. And that's it. That's what it's for.
Is that why lottery tickets were invented? So we had more ideas for white elephant gifts and stuff.
Is that what it was all about?
It was all about the whole time.
It was all... It was the butler the whole time.
The call is coming from inside the house. Offer a kickback. If it's a significant amount of money in the thousands, you could take the giver out for dinner or drinks or something, or maybe something a little less if you win. Your win was modest or something
like that. Yeah.
I will tell you, anybody out there listening, and you can replay this because everything is podcasted and there is, you know, again, you can't get away with anything anymore.
No.
I didn't say that. Oh, yeah, you did. Unless, of course, some people apparently can, though.
Yeah.
So, for me, if you buy me a lottery ticket and it is a $5 winner or a $5,000 winner, you are definitely getting something out of it.
That's right.
I have too much guilt to be able to, like, I don't care if it's millions, man. You're getting something out of that. Because, for one, I wouldn't be able to live with that. Oh, this person did this for me, you know, even though it was a gift and all that. I wouldn't be able to live with that part of it. I also don't want that hanging over my head.
Well, you know, I'm with you 100%.
I don't want this person for the next 20, 30 years of my life being able to, anytime something good happens, or, hey, you know, bought that ticket for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, man, that was 10 years ago, right? Like, I appreciate it, but you don't have to keep bringing it up.
No. Here, James, what we need to do right now is we need to set guidelines, okay?
Yeah.
The two guys who've never bought lottery tickets in our lives.
Yes.
We need to set up. So here we go. I've got just a rough draft, all right, real quick. So if it's like under $1,000, and you win it, you buy them dinner or something, okay? That's something, you know, a nice one, not just McDonald's, okay?
Yeah,
we're talking, buy them a nice dinner. If it's over $1,000, you got to give them a finder's fee. You got them 10%, okay? We need a hard and fast rule here.
Sure.
Over $1,000, you give them 10%. There you go.
I like those. I like those rules.
Yeah.
Let's find out from all of you. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, first and foremost, I just got to say I can hear a little bit of spring in James's stuff this morning or in the
boys. I mean, just a little.
You know, I know where you come from on this, because back in the 80s when the Packers sucked and all we wanted to do was just beat the Bears. I get it, where you guys are coming from too now. So
I shouldn't feel this way as a fan, but I saw NIU beat Notre Dame and I saw that game yesterday and I'm good. I'm all right.
He's good for next year.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, that's how low the bar is for a Bear fan. That is how low. And nobody wanted to win that game yesterday, it seemed like. Nobody. There was hot potato with a win. It was back and forth. Kev, in a lottery situation, what would you do with something like this? Have you been in this situation before?
You know, I mean, I kind of agree with you a little bit, James. If it's, you know, if it's $5, I'm going to say thank you. I mean, I'll tell them I won $5 and bought a hamburger at McDonald's or something, you know. And then if it's a significant amount, I mean, I think like what Seth, you said, if it's over $1,000, maybe 10% or 15%, you know. I mean, yeah, they gave a gift. They're taking a risk. You know, but what happens if they pay $5 on lottery tickets and you win nothing?
Yeah.
That's kind of a bad gift.
I mean, right. Yeah.
I just got the joy of scratching a lottery ticket. That's all I had.
Yeah, thanks for getting my hopes up. That's a wonderful Christmas gift. That's fantastic. Yeah, I almost feel like it's one of the... I wasn't going to go this way, but I do think this is another part of it.
Yeah.
That you could buy somebody like 10 lottery tickets, hope, nothing, hope, nothing, hope, nothing. So you got them like a bunch of like hopeless hope for Christmas. Like, wow, way to go. Great gift. I don't know if... So the ceiling and the floor on things, maybe it's just the way my brain works, or maybe it's fantasy sports.
Ooh, it's warped you.
I do that so much in life now. Like, okay, what is the best scenario that could happen from this, and what's the worst?
Well, it's the very bottom there.
And I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know. But I think it is fun. For those that enjoy it, it can be fun. I don't know. Kev, we appreciate you. Safe travels out there, man.
All right, guys. Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
Appreciate you. Paying it forward. You can buy them a lottery ticket. is another option on here.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Although, again, that's...
I like the idea.
That seems like a little cheap on the in the scheme of things, right? Yeah.
You win $5,000 and you buy them like another $5 lottery ticket or something like that. Like what? Hey.
It's equal, right? We have the same chance of winning.
Very similar to what you were saying there, Seth. Split it with the giver. Several people say that they'd give the gift giver a cut anywhere from 10% to half.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. But again, I think we also have to realize that the giver gave these to you as a gift, so you're not obligated to do it if you don't want to. I just think it's a courtesy, and I think you should. Whatever the amount is, you know, that's up to you, but yeah.
Depends on the relationship. If it's someone you like, share some of the winnings with them. If it's someone you aren't that close with, keep it as a gift. Now, who's getting people gifts that,
you know, they don't like? Unless it's like what we said, you know, like a white elephant office thing,
yeah.
Santa, yeah. Secret Santa thing, where it's like that guy from accounting. It's like, mm-hmm. I got it for, oh, I don't like this. And he gave me lottery tickets, yeah, but now I won, so I'm leaning on him, I guess.
I guess that's, yeah.
That'd be like the only scenario, though.
Spoiled around here, like everybody I work with. It's not going to happen. If somebody had won the lottery, I'd be probably one of the most, I might be just as excited about more as them, than them. Yeah. One person said, my uncle gave us all lottery tickets, but filled his info in on the back in case it was a winner, which was a joke, apparently. It was just a joke that he was doing.
That is actually pretty funny.
But also might be a little bit, you know, might be covered.
It's a joke when no one wins.
Yes. Exactly. It's
like, oh, you won $5,000. Oh, give me that ticket. Give me that.
Let me see that.
Yeah. My address on the back.
To the, you know, making sure it's real. Is biting it. You know, bite a lottery ticket like old gold. I'm an old prospector for some reason. Yes. Look at them gold in the hill. What's a Monday show? It's a Monday show.
That went off the rails real quick.
There is a woman in the news that just won $150,000 from a scratch-off that her mother gave her. She says the money will go towards paying off her college debt and buying a home.
Oh, so, see, now there we go. That's win-win.
Now, there's another idea. Do with the winnings what your parent would do, or the person that gave it to you.
Yes.
I feel like that's what her mom would do.
Now, if you win, make sure
that... Yeah. Invest.
Invest and pay off your mortgage.
We'll be doing that. We'll be coming back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there.
Mm-hmm.
A little 90s to play us in. Going to have a new episode of Unlabeled for you this week, everybody.
That's
first
right.
One of the new year.
Excellent.
Got it all written up. Actually, I went into a thing this weekend. I've got the next 4 or 5.
Oh, wow. He was in the zone, man.
There's something with this show. What happens is I get a theme and I want to put it together, but then I come across other songs that don't fit the theme, so I put them in later episodes.
And that starts a new one, right?
Right. Yep. And before you know it, you got like 7 of the 10 songs you need. Does this happen with you with Seth Face?
Yes, it does. It happens quite a bit. Yep.
It's so cool to me because in 20 some years, this is a very new way of programming an hour to me, mm-hmm. doing it this way.
There you go.
Yeah. My time in radio, it was picked for music. Yeah. It was picked for me. Picking out 10 songs or whatever a week and having the specifics of it. It's a fun thing to do.
It is. It is a very fun thing to do. So
whether it's Seth Faces the Music on Sundays or it is Unlabeled or Director's Cut, which is some changes.
It's getting a facelift coming up here. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that this week because we've got some exciting news with that show. But more and more, we encourage you to check out our Sunday lineup, everybody.
Yep.
We just got a great one. And thank you, everybody, that does check it out because those 3-4 hours are popular around here.
Yeah.
This is That Ain't Right story. I got a palate cleanser right after, everybody.
Okay.
it might be a good day to arrive home with flowers. The first working Monday of 2025 is Divorce Day.
Ah!
The day of the year you're most likely to get dumped.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not clear if it's really true or not, but stats show January probably does deserve the title of Divorce Month. A study in 2020 found Google searches for things like quickie divorce more than doubled every January.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Experts think it's because people tend to avoid breakups in November and December to just get through the holidays, or sometimes all the holiday stress can be the final straw. And I love the idea of somebody's out there right now and they just like they thought that they were getting like they're being smooth, like not breaking up in the holidays.
Yeah,
or whatever.
We'll do it afterwards.
Like, no, what are you doing? What is wrong with you?
No.
The first working Monday gets the divorce day title because the added stress of getting back to work can push people over the edge.
Goodness gracious.
In other words, it's a good day to toss out a random compliment order or something for your partner.
Keep things copacetic, yeah.
Because if you're anything like me, you're the last to know. This also comes up this week. Dating Sunday is coming up. Apparently, this Sunday is considered Dating Sunday.
Okay. Because everyone broke up.
Right. So you're divorced like a week later? You're going out, not even a week later.
Oh, goodness.
Some people just keep moving, I guess.
Move on.
Now, the problem I have with this is, in part, they didn't really... It seems like almost every one of these studies, if it's 2020 and up, that they will include that big old word that all of us are tired of, even after all the years and years, pandemic.
Right.
Or COVID or something like that
exactly.
will come up.
Yeah.
Well, that was gigantic at that time, and that's going to skew these numbers, and they're going back to 2020.
Right.
What about before that? What about, like, you know?
Right.
And can we just, like, if you guys want to talk about divorce day, fine, but what I want to talk about more so is this need to turn day, like, something into everything.
Into, like, a thing. Literally a thing, yeah.
Everything's got to be a thing.
Yep.
Everything. If everything's a thing, then nothing stands out.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know that we need to make every day a thing.
And, we don't, no.
And it used to be we did this to celebrate things. Mm-hmm. Now, like, we're doing it as almost like a warning. Like, as if, you know, you can fix... Like, if your relationship is headed for a divorce on January 6th, you can magically fix it or something like that on the 5th or the 4th. Like,
we've run out of good things. Now we have to do the bad stuff.
I
that's what we're doing now. Every good thing has a day now.
Yeah.
So now I guess we have to start creating things for, you know, bad stuff, you know, stub your toe day, you know, or slip on the ice day or something. I don't know.
Well, granted, I do think that, you know, you don't want to make quick decisions when it comes to marriage, of course.
Yeah, right.
And you know,
divorce for that matter. Yeah.
I'm old school on this one. I don't think that you should stay with anybody it doesn't work when you know it doesn't work. But I do think it does take work. And I do think that you need to. I know for me and Mandy, my ex-wife, we can both look in the mirror and say we did everything we could. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the reason why we're friends now.
Exactly.
Which is better for our kids and all these things. That took 20 years, but we got there.
It takes a while sometimes.
I think that, you know, if you can say that, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're, I don't know, if you're looking at this as this is like getting through the holidays thing, like, to me, I feel like, well, what happens when you're looking back on those memories of that time?
Right.
Like, or anything. I feel like if it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, if it happens to be Christmas Eve and it's over, that's just how it
sadly,
worked out.
Sadly, that's probably how it's going to work.
To me, I don't know. I guess to me, that's the way that I would approach this, which, you know, also may answer some other questions about me.
I consider the source.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I guess it's hard to know if you're
a divorce lawyer, today is like your Super
Bowl. Oh, yeah. This is like the day, man. Let's get the people in here.
All relationship stuff is skewed. It's all over the place. Like,
well, every relationship is different, James.
Candy sales in October and in February, huge, and we have no idea why. No idea.
We can't look it up. No way we can look it up.
I feel like there's also something about that where people, you know, at the beginning of a new year and just wanting a clean slate and a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true.
That, I think, too, can also, I don't want to say push you over the edge, but give you almost some incentive that you need to do something. Because that was wild to me, and I ran into this with a lot more younger people this in the last couple of weeks than anything. The idea that, oh, it's January 1st, I got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool, and more power to you if you want to make change, because we can all improve our lives and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it necessarily means you have to.
No.
And it certainly doesn't mean that if you started today, and I didn't start it on January 1st, or no.
That it won't work, right?
Yeah.
No, I think part of it is just because it's an easy time to do it, right?
Yes.
You turn the page of the year, and it's like, well, this is a good time as any, right? Let's focus on that. That's why we have resolutions and all that thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it, like you're kind of kind of like trending towards here is that it doesn't matter when you start anything if you want to change. It's a convenient way of doing it.
And the cool part of that is, too, it doesn't take Valentine's Day or your anniversary or something like that. Any day you can try to improve your relationship and make it better.
Exactly. And stuff. In fact, you should be.
Probably
should look into that a little bit. Yeah.
Definitely don't want, you know, one of the most failed shows that I ever tried to do here at WFHR was James's, dating advice. It was canceled before it even got
even off the ground.
We
probably a wise decision in the end.
I was working on the bumper and Chuck was like, James, this is not, no. Why, no.
What are you doing?
Like, stop, we that. Need content right now and we're still not doing this.
We're desperate, but we can't have this, man. We cannot do it.
Ain't nobody that desperate. I did want to wrap the hour up on a good story. We try to do that as much as we can. And I think that this is such a darn cool story. But what I love about this is the work of the headline on this one.
Oh, okay.
And it comes to us from the goodnewsnetwork.org, goodnewsnetwork.org. And the headline is, Minnesota summer camp for HIV-positive kids closes down. Because there aren't any more.
Wow.
Like, it hold you, I read that and held my breath for, oh, great, another one of these horrible stories.
Yeah.
And then you just keep reading. And
that's an excellent headline. You're right. That is an excellent headline.
Such a well-written headline.
It is.
Such a well-written headline.
Yep.
The idea that this particular camp cannot stay open because there are not enough HIV kids for it.
Think
of what that means, everybody.
Wow.
As a couple of 80s kids, I'm sorry, that's mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Well, anyone who lived through that time, we know what it was like. This is one of the whole HIV AIDS story as it has progressed over the decades is actually one of the best stories I think we've had in our lifetimes. The result of all the education that we've had and it is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable.
Parental transmission of HIV occurring when children contact the virus while in the womb or breastfeeding has fallen below 1% in HIV positive mothers in the United States, thanks to a lot of what Seth was just talking about there.
Yeah.
This is what happens when we work together.
Yes.
When we trust science, when we trust facts, and have, you know, something to hang our hat on when it comes to those things, and what
so
the good we can do, and when we work together.
Yes. It never would have happened without all of the groups that were working towards this for decades, for all of the science being worked on this, the medication now that is where it's at. I mean, it's a really a great story all around.
It's a really good headline.
It is an excellent headline. Whoever the headline writer is, man. Good job. Kudos to you.
Well done. We've got a great one coming up for you. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour the way we like to on Mondays with, of course, the Kitchen's Open.
Yeah.
Habeck are going to be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. After that, Seth and I will get into a little bit of Golden Globe talk. We had the Golden Globes yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Demi Moore shows up in there. That's going to be kind of cool. Also, this mashup that I got to tell Seth about two creative teams working together that I did not see coming.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All of that coming up for you right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.